This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer. Let me give you my mailing address quickly before we get started. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And it's so good to have you folks with us. I wish you'd sit down and write me and let me know that you're listening. Let me know where you're hearing. And if the station is not nobody listening to this station, then I'll move the station somewhere else. It costs a lot of money for these broadcasts. But I want to stay there if we could, because we have some poor soul who appreciates the Old Trailblazer broadcast. So I wish you'd write me and let me know that you do. And if you would, help me with the broadcast. I could go on several new stations if folks would help me with the broadcast a little bit. So if you would do that, I appreciate it. We're bringing you a series of studies now, have been for quite some time, on the Trailblazer broadcast on the Book of Revelation. And we're down now pretty well about halfway through the study. And we're looking there in the 11th chapter of Revelation at the two witnesses, or the last two prophets, last two preachers on earth, and how that they had power from the Lord. Let's look what the Lord says. Day after day, we find that the excitement increases as these two preachers give their testimony. They go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, over the land of Judea, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, whom these folks had rejected. And they preach like Elijah of old, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain for 3 years. That's what Elijah told them. But according to my word, they raise their voices against the wickedness and toil, and tell men face to face. They weren't ashamed, were they? They did not compromise. No, we have a booklet here by Pastor Shelton. If ever preacher who ever hears the old broadcast would write me, I'll send it to you. Call No Compromise. Don't compromise, my friend. Pastor, don't compromise. Don't look out in your audience and see some dignitator out there, or the mayor or the president or some high roller and change your message to suit him. Oh, I felt so terrible back there during the days of President Clinton's administration when his pastor compromised with him and saw nothing wrong with what he was doing with this illicit affair with this young woman. And his pastor never said one word about it. And some of the great old evangelists who pride themselves in counseling the presidents never said one word about those things. They never came out like the old prophet did and shook his finger in David's face and said, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." No. But listen, these two witnesses don't either. They don't take anything from those folks. They give their testimony of the character of the judgments that are already passed and warn men of the judgment yet more terrible that is coming upon the earth. They cry out against the claims of the Antichrist, who has set himself up, according to Revelation 13, as God in the temple. Did you know that? The Antichrist has set himself up in the temple there. They announce coming judgment upon the city of Jerusalem, which has become the Sodom of Egypt. Oh, listen. They repeatedly tell the Jews that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they crucified, will yet be king over all the earth. They disclose the hearts of men in all their rebellion and the wickedness until the people became furious, terribly furious, in order to destroy these two men. Such divine authority and power has never been committed to men as is given to these two witnesses. As they go up and down the land, they smite the earth with every plague. They withhold the rain. They turn the water into blood. Instead of men repenting and turning to God, they devise means for their destruction. Now, that's the way the natural man is, my friend. Oh, that's the reason I tell you often that judgment does not tender a heart. You know what tenders a heart? Mercy. The mercy of God. When you see the grace of God exemplified in man's hearts and lives, when you see how good God is to you, look around, sinner. Look around, my friend. Mother, Dad, look around and see. The song says, "Surely goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life," after the psalm. Will you folks just let me call your attention to this fact? I don't do it critically, no. I do it tenderly. Folks accuse me of being harsh, but I don't. I'm not harsh. I do it as tenderly as I know how, with a broken heart, with a heart that cries out unto God in these dark hours in which we live, that men might repent and turn to Christ. But listen, do you know that we're living in such an age now of spiritual darkness? We are near the coming of our Lord, until men will not repent when their attention is called to their wickedness. Oh, let me just come out here on the Trailblazer broadcast against the shallowness and the emptiness of our present day preaching. And the cry is, don't listen. Don't listen to that old fool. Don't listen to him. No, don't listen to that old fool. Away with him. Away with him. He's not fit to preach the gospel. Now, let me call men to repentance. Repent or perish. Let me or any other faithful preacher stand and unshield the sword of God's truth, laying it bare, laying that heart bare, the consciousness of men, and the cry will come, he's a disgrace to the ministry. Did you know the old Trailblazer is not very popular, my friend? No, we're not popular. Folks asked me one time, said, a man did, how many folks you have in service? I said, just a handful. Just a handful. He said, how can a handful sponsor these broadcasts that you're on? I know how many stations you're on with the Trailblazer and with the Voice of Truth. I said, God has raised up a people here and there and yonder who want the truth to continue to go out, and they believe and know that this is the truth that we're bringing, where we preach man in his place as a sinner, and we preach Christ as a Savior of all men. But listen now, listen, brethren, that thing has happened. Oh, listen, we have folks tell us that we are disgraced to the minister. One man called me a heretic because I preached the doctrine of grace and the doctrine of the sovereignty of God according to God's word. He said, Pastor, you're just a heretic. And I didn't get mad with him. I prayed for him. Oh, listen. Listen, nobody else may hear me, but God is causing folks here to listen. He's disclosing hearts, unveiling souls, calling men and women to repentance. Let me raise my voice against immorality in the pulpit and the pew. And instead of repenting, folks will cry, I won't have him. I won't have him. And they get up and leave. They won't listen. Listen, let me raise my voice against the Christless literature that humanizes our Lord, which we have here in our bookstore. We talk about we don't sell anything but the King James Version Bible, which we don't. And man, preacher will call me, what's the matter with you, you old fool? You don't preach the Living Bible. You don't preach the NIV Bible. You don't sell this, the African-American Woman Bible. You don't. No, sir, we don't do those things. We only sell the King James Authorized Version of the Bible because it's the closest thing to the truth that we can find. And I believe that with all my heart. And then, let me take a stand against homosexuality. I don't get on a bandstand and go to ranting and raving. I don't get a bullhorn and march in the street, no. But I tell my people what it is, abomination for a man to lay with man and a woman to lay with woman. It's abomination. Do you know what that is? It's abominable. I don't know of a worse word that you can say about somebody is that they're abominable. Oh, but listen, you let me do that, and they folks criticize me. They criticize me. And our cry is here, folks, and some folks who hear me, they say, don't listen. Listen, folks, let me give you this picture. You folks sitting out there hearing me on the radio, reach down and get a hold of the bottom of your chair and hold it. Will you just listen? Coming back from preaching a few weeks ago, there we stopped at a place to get some coffee, and listen, what did I see? 150 teenage boys and girls dancing and drinking and all those things. You can see that on every hand. I see our teenage girls now without enough clothes on to cover up their nakedness. My friend, I told one recently, I don't want to see your belly button. I don't want to see it. No, sir. Put on some clothes, my child. But listen, their mothers probably do the same thing. But now, listen, I just cry out against those things, and folks won't have it. One here and one there will have it. They don't know the Lord. They belong to some church. But if they knew the Lord, they wouldn't be doing those things. Have we come to this, that the only thing that we're concerned about now is to draw our breath, talking about our pastors now, draw our breath, draw our salary, and let our congregations go to hell? I ask you, pastor, young pastor, old pastor, evangelist, do you weep over your congregation? Do you weep over souls going out into eternity? I ask you to do that. But listen, I'll cry loud and spare not until my last breath. Our only hope is that God will pour out his Spirit in these last days before the Lord come. God help us to think. Father, sitting there before your radio, wake up. Mother, wake up. Fall on your face and cry for your children. Let's not let them go. The Lord will save them if we'll pray for them. They don't need to go to hell. Do you know one thing I often say here? That there's nothing in the world worth going to hell over. I told my folks here not long ago, I said, you take a tablet and a piece of paper and a pencil and write down all of the things that your heart longs after. Write them down. Wealth, society, popularity, all of those things. And then ask if any one of them is worth going to hell over. Oh, I tell you, my friend, listen, the average prayer meeting today in our churches is just a little drink Kool-Aid and eat cookies. Oh, but listen, let's turn our homes into prayer meetings day in and day out. Our old prayer meetings are a thing of the past. That's one of the things that we appreciate here at Radio Missions on Saturday afternoon. Our men get together in one building and the ladies across the street and pray. And that's been disrupted by the hurricanes and all. We're longing to get back. So we gather together in a different place now. Some of our folks can't get here because of the things that have happened. But we long to do that. I asked our men a few weeks ago, we was in our prayer meeting, had about 18 men, and I said, brethren, do y'all know any place in the city of New Orleans where you would find 17 or 18 men from every walk of life, some young, some old, who get together on Saturday afternoon, give up all of their football games and those things that they do, and come together and pray? And then we call out the name. We call many of your names. Those of you who have written us and said you want to be saved, we call your name. I hope you call in my name in your prayer meeting. Pastor, you have prayer meeting at your church Saturday afternoon? Oh, listen, my friend. What about Sunday before the evening service? Or do you still have the evening service? Or do you have a movie, Harry Potter or somebody like that? Oh, my friend. We're on a toboggan slide to hell. Did you know that? Surely we have more church people now than we ever had. There's a church on every corner. I was in a little town not long ago, and I saw four churches on one corner. They had Free Will Baptist, Hard Shell Baptist, some other kind of Baptist, and a Church of Christ. Oh, listen, on one corner of this little old town, didn't have enough people in the town to fill one of those churches, but they had four of them. Because they all got a different agreement. But let's look to the Lord. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's worship Christ. Well, he's the one who died for us. The church didn't die. You know what the church is, my friend? The church is a group of called out individuals who know the Lord. That's what the church is. Oh, that's the church building. Our building was torn up by the storm, but that doesn't make any difference. But, we still have a church because we have God's people. So let's get back to those things. I wish you would. Don't throw it over your shoulder, my friend. But listen, let's cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and see those individuals turn to the Lord. And that's that miracle. This will be the answer to our modern-day modernism. Listen, rank infidelity, those things that stalk our land. I challenge you. I challenge you, mother, dad, young people, join hands with me, crying out, for an awakening. I told my folks in the services not long ago, one thing we need, we don't need a bigger building, we don't need stained glass windows or a tall steeple, we need the Holy Spirit to meet with us on a daily basis, a weekly basis, an hourly basis, and open our folks' heart, open every heart to the fact that they need to seek the Lord, sinners and saints. Oh, listen, when the Lord saves you, he don't leave you. He puts you to seeking the Lord for others. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. But listen, folks, I don't have much time left. Could I tell you what? Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Then write me. Remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. I long to hear from you. Would you do that for me? I appreciate it. Goodbye, and God bless you.